May grace and mercy and peace be yours from God our Father, from his ascended Son, and from the promised Holy Spirit. Amen. First, a word of thanks and appreciation and even of joy and gratitude for the welcome back to the Concordia Seminary campus from and to the class of 1982. We didn't worship in this chapel, and it's a joy to be here, and we thank you for your kindness in welcoming us back to a home that was ours in the late 70s and the early 80s. The second thing is, though my name was fourth in line in the alphabet in the class of 82, they didn't volunteer people to preach based on the letters of the alphabet, and I would have tried to get near the end back then, preaching to my peers and my professors, but, well, here we are. People God dearly loves, what language do you speak? We have a custom at Crown of Life down in San Antonio, Texas, that in our festival worship for Pentecost, when Acts 2 is read, as it was minutes ago, a number of people are standing in different aisles, ready to add their voices when the lay reader comes to verses 17 and 21. 3 days ago, Crown of Life members spoke heart languages and learned languages in our divine services. Farshad Rostami spoke Farsi. Irene Utangana spoke Kinyarwanda. Awilda Sierra and Juan Trevino spoke Spanish. Marilyn Jarvis spoke Polish. Arthur Peck spoke Norwegian. Wen Tao and Yulin Pan spoke Mandarin. Ann Schadel spoke Romanian. Manfred and Maria Siller spoke German. Pepita Quinney spoke Tagalog. Chad Bird spoke Hebrew. Allison Ingram spoke Latin. Eric and Lana Fadig spoke Georgian. Gad Kabaruka and Jim Willis spoke French. Susan Conrad spoke a Nigerian dialect. Lizzie Palm spoke Korean. Sandra Hood spoke Italian. Mark Yoder spoke Kimamba. Max Spate spoke Swedish. Susan Tonder and Paul Engelhardt spoke Russian. And Amanda Grant signed that portion of scripture in ASL. What language do you speak? For the record, when I was 11 years old, I was almost fluent in Pig Latin. But from our class of 1982, Vance Becker and his wife both speak Swahili. Tim Seleska reads and understands Aramaic. Dennis Bauer out in Lame Deer, Montana, speaks a couple of Native American dialects. And Steve Morfitt preaches in Spanish down in the Rio Grande Valley. And all of us who were assembled on this campus back in the fall of 1978 had already studied some Hebrew and Greek or learned it in boot camp, which is why some of you are here this summer. Something new and spectacular happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The confusing, dividing babble of Genesis 11 was superseded by the unifying cacophony of the apostles, by holy ruach, by holy pneuma, by holy wind blowing, by holy fire, and by holy breath speaking of languages never studied, languages far beyond the skill set of simple Galilean fishermen, of a zealot, of a tax collector, of two sons of thunder. And here is the stunned response, not just to that multilingual miracle, but to the common but uncommon message. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Ta megaleia tu Theou, God's mighty works, his great deeds. No, not creation, though let there be had powerful effect. Not the earth-washing flood. Not the exodus with the plagues and the Passover blood and the parting of the Red Sea and the miraculous manna. Not Elijah's confrontation on the Carmel Ridge. Not Jonah's escape. Not David's slingshot. Not Solomon's temple. Not Isaiah's vision, not the three unburned men in the furnace, not Daniel's rescue from the lions, but this, that God in Christ has reconciled the world to himself, that the sinless Lamb of God is nailed to the cross as both substitute and sacrifice, that Jesus burst from the tomb, made empty, made powerless, to give us new and never-ending life, that he is given the name above every name and reigns at the Father's right hand, even as he, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, intercedes for his church until his glorious return. What language do you speak? It doesn't matter. For Christ, who loosed the muddled tongue of the deaf and mute, who freed the blasphemous tongue of the man demon-possessed, who received hosannas from the joyous tongues of palm-waving children, who cried out, "It is finished," with a parched tongue at Golgotha, who spoke, "Peace be with you," to his stunned disciples in the upper room on Easter evening, who promised, "I am with you always," to the worried apostles on Galilee's high mountain, and who sent the promised Spirit to give clarity to those timid tongues, making the apostles sent ones from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This same Lord looses our tongues to tell the mighty works of God from Virginia to Alaska, from Florida to Arizona, from Texas to Minnesota, from Ukraine to Brazil, from Kenya to Cambodia. This is the language we speak, the language we must speak. Truth from and of God's word to those confused by Satan's lies and the world's compromises. Hope to the dry bones of those doubting that God can possibly value them because they have failed in so many ways. Love, perfect and pure love, to those who call themselves unlovely and unlovable because of shame. Freedom and forgiveness to a prisoner, when you speak the benediction through the wired glass and using a telephone. Peace to a family grieving the way too soon and sudden death of a child at an elementary school in Uvalde, or the way too brutal death of a mother or wife to pancreatic cancer. We don't speak of our mighty works, though we are privileged and blessed to be given beautiful, beautiful feet to speak the good news to weary sinners. But we speak of God's mighty works. In whatever language and in whatever place, we are the voices of our crucified, ascended, and returning Lord. For our voices echo the voice of Jesus Christ, calling, loving, absolving, welcoming, teaching, feeding, and blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.